I've known him ever since he was born, just about. And most of these guys, I've known them since they were born. Went to Bible school down there with his daddy and his uncle. He's got a blind uncle. And I got a blind boy who lives with us. His name is Jesse. He's an evangelist. He travels all over the country. And he's been living with us for, almost 25, 26 years. I've let him drive a Greyhound bus. He ran over my dog, too. I mean, he never seen it. So, anyway, boy, I tell you what, we've had some good times. When I go away and preach somewhere, I'm going to have a good time. That's what I'm going to have. I enjoy myself. You might not enjoy it, but I enjoy myself. Amen. It's been, whenever I go away, I like to take my whole family, I like to take all the kids. I got 20 grandkids. I've had 5 children. I raised 5 kids. My kids never seen us being hypocrites. We don't want to be a hypocrite. We want to live what we live at church, what we live at home. And we just want to be faithful to the Lord. I was a gang leader, ended up in prison at 18 years old. I got a brother that's got life in prison. He's been in prison since 1975. And my dad was a trash man. I'm a trash man's son. And, I mean, there's benefits to being a trash man's son, man. You know, you get to eat free, all kinds of stuff. So, I grew up picking up trash all my life. My mother, my father, all of us picking up trash. I'm talking about back in the 60s. And I remember, some of y'all remember, some of the older folks in here remember the black and whites where they showed movies about people going to the landfill and then people living on the landfill. And they would go, and when the trucks dumped the trash, the people would go through it. And I've seen all that. I went through that in D.C. where I grew up. And I ended up being, got real wild and crazy. And I ended up in prison at 18 years old down in Baltimore Penitentiary. I was just anything crazy. That's what I did. I mean, my mother would cry to my brothers and say, you follow your brother because he's going to end up dead. And I was carrying a gun when I was like 13. Robbing people, stealing, breaking into places, doing all that stuff. And it's just the mercy of God. You want to know why I get happy? I'm happy because of what God's done for me. And I'm happy the Lord forgave me from all the mess I was in. I had a brother. My brother got killed in 1972. I stabbed him twice. I didn't want to hear nothing about God. My brother used to talk to me about the Lord. I'd tell him, shut up and all that stuff. I'd make fun of God. I'd call God all kinds of names. And I'd do all kinds of stuff like that. I would, you know, and my brother, he would get mad, and we end up fighting, and I stabbed him. And my mother would get between us, trying to stop me from trying to, I tried to kill him. And boy, but the night I got saved, a friend of mine, actually, I didn't even know the guy. He took, come by my, and I was running around with this gang, and the guy took us out to eat, paid for it. And when somebody pays something for me, I always got my eye on them. I wonder, what's your angle, man? What are you up to? And he took us out to the restaurant, paid for it, and he was talking to my buddy. He was a biker, and he was riding with the Pagans motorcycle gang, and he was riding with them, and he got saved and wanted to try to get somebody else saved, and he come by and took us out to eat, and I acted like I didn't care. I had long hair and beard and all that, so I was crazy looking, and he started witnessing to a friend of mine, Italian boy, named Tommy DeFeo. And he started witnessing to him, and I acted like I didn't want to hear nothing about it. And then I'll use him. And he said, I'll give you a ride anytime. When I was 16, they took my license away because I had 68 points on my license. I changed birth certificate when I was 14. And saying I was 18, the FBI was looking for me for dodging a draft. I had a 67 GTO. I was the only kid driving to school in seventh grade. So then I got kicked out of eighth grade. So I couldn't read or write when I got saved. My wife taught me how to read and write. My wife, she homeschools our kids, our grandkids at home right now. But Dr. Robin gave me a doctor's degree. And he said, when he gave me that doctor's degree, he said, it's like putting whipped cream on an onion, giving that to you. So, but we were good friends. And but anyway, back to my brother. He got killed by a trash truck. My trash truck ran over his head and killed him. And the night he got killed, I was drunk, I was messed up. I remember going outside, cussing God, saying, God, if you're up there, I want to know. And 2 years later, running from the police, I got a lot worse. I ended up in prison, in and out of jail from the time I was 13, 14 years old. And, you know, I remember saying, God, you blankety blank, I call God every name in the book. And you talk about people say, oh, God's not merciful and all that. I'm going to tell you something. He's merciful to me. And he allowed me to get saved. And I was cursing him and saying all kinds of dirty stuff. And I remember coming home at night drunk, my, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. My brother would be laying out in the snow if it was cold. I'd go up and I'd kick him. And he was 18 years old when he got killed. I'd go up and kick him. I'd say, hey, man, what are you doing out here, man? And he said, I'm praying for you so you don't die and go to hell. And I said, man, don't pray for me. You pray for yourself, man. I don't need your prayers. And that's where I was. And when he got killed, I said, God, I want to know. I want to know. If you're there, I want to know. The night the guy took me to his parole meeting, I came out of my parole meeting. I punched him across in the mouth. And I remember jumping in the car with this guy, and I'm cussing at him. His name's John Garner. Him and I became good friends. And I was cussing at John Garner, and I said, get out of here, man, quick. The cops are coming. And it was right in D.C. area. And he said, he didn't know what to say. He was going through the gears in this Camaro. He had a 69 Z28. I love cars, folks. I'll talk probably a lot about cars here and there. But he was going through the gears in the 69 Z28, and I'm ducking down the seat, and I'm cussing and everything. And he, as he hit third gear, he said to me, he said, you want to go to a revival meeting? I never heard of a revival meeting in my life. I didn't know what revival was. And I remember looking up at him going, what in the world is that? He goes, there's a place where they're preaching. I said, I don't want to hear no blankety-blank preaching. I mean, folks, that's the way it was. And I remember him, as he hit third gear, and he goes, and he didn't know what to say, and he looked at me and he said, there's a former president of Hell's Angels preaching there. He's a preacher. I said, he's a preacher. Take me to him. I said, I want to know. I want to know something from God. I want to know if there's a real God in heaven. I'm going to tell you something. I found out he's real. Amen. God is real. He answers prayer. And I'll never forget, we pulled up in the church parking lot. The church had 1,500 people at that time. They put a big tent in the back, had about 3,000 people. But nobody was there. We pulled up in the parking lot. It was late. I remember, I could still see it in my mind. I could see him driving up that driveway into that church, Riverdale Baptist Church in Hyattsville, Maryland. In Riverdale, Maryland, really. And I remember him pulling up in that driveway. And I remember I looked around. I said, hey, where's all the people at? He said, oh, they all went home. And I'm thinking in my mind, just the way I thought. I thought, this guy set me up to kill me. I'm going to kill him before he kills me. That's my mindset. The night I got saved, that guy, that preacher was sitting outside waiting on me. And I remember I got out of the car. I'm looking around, looking at everybody. I'm looking around to see if anybody's going to jump out. And the guy walks up to me and grabbed a hold of my hand. And he looked at John. He says, this is the guy? He goes, that's him. And he goes, I heard about you. And I said, yeah, what'd you hear about me at? He said, I heard you were lost and on your way to hell and need to get saved. I balled up my fist. I was going to punch him upside his head. And he said this to me. He said, one time in your life, why don't you give up and ask God to forgive you and save you? One time in your life. My brother used to say that to me. You ever give up? I wouldn't ever give up. And he said, you give up? I said, no. And that preacher said the right words that night. I could see my brother standing there saying to me, give up. And that night, I asked Jesus Christ to save me. He showed me from a Bible I couldn't even read. I couldn't even read it. I was 18 years old. Never went to school to learn how to read. I went to school to deal drugs, all that stuff. But take your Bible, look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. This is the Apostle Paul. You know, everything right now, what we see right here, the churches across this land, around the world, is because of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is one of my heroes. And I tell people, anybody over 67, I'm 67 years old now, anybody over 67 is my hero, amen? And anybody over 67. But the Apostle Paul is one of my heroes. I got some heroes in the Bible. And I learned how to read by reading the Bible. My wife would help me to read. And then Dr. Upman would teach me on the side. He'd come over to my house and tutor me. And this people, I owe everybody. Everybody has helped me. I remember I was sitting in class in Greenville, South Carolina under Dr. Harold Seitler. And I remember I wanted to go to Harold Seitler School because of Oliver Green. How many of y'all know who Oliver Green is? Y'all know who Oliver Green on the radio. I mean, I knew his brother, Jack Green, and then Billy Kelly. How many of y'all know who Billy Kelly is? Billy Kelly is an old-time preacher, and he was a mountain preacher. And I wanted to go to school there because of them old preachers. And I went down there and got around them old preachers. And they invested in me. They took time to help me. And they invested. And I'm going to tell you something, you young people in here, there's people invested in you. And I owe everybody. I owe you. I owe everybody. I owe everybody to live for God and honor God. And so do you, all you kids. You owe God, and you owe these people, and you owe, man, your parents and everybody else that raised you for God. I wasn't raised that way. My father put beer in my milk bottle when I was a baby and taught me how to steal, taught me how to do all that stuff. And I owe. I owe. Acts chapter 26. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand. I always say this, he had to be Italian. He stretched forth his hand. And it says, and answered for himself. He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whom I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among mine own nation is Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, on the which promise were our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God would raise the dead? I have barely thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. We know that in Acts chapter 7, Stephen, and it says, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them that which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he answered, and he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand on thy feet. And he goes on telling the story about his testimony. I tell people all the time, the greatest thing you have as a Christian, besides the Word of God and your salvation, is your testimony. Be able to give your testimony. That's why you got to guard your testimony at all costs. You got to guard your testimony. But at this time, Paul is standing for King Agrippa. And he's given his testimony to the king, Festus, and all the folks. You say, where was this at? This was in Caesarea. And the Lord gave me a privilege to go to Jerusalem. I went over there with a brother, Glenn Stocker. I went over to Israel. And man, I was so excited. I was like a kid in a candy shop. And brother Glenn kept saying to me, he said, Alan, make sure you don't get us killed over there. Cause I was talking to everybody. I was talking to Arabs. I was talking to Jews, everybody. I mean, went to Israeli soldiers. I got pictures with them and I was preaching to them. And you could get kicked out of the country for that. But I mean, I tell you what, I went to Caesarea. I was like a little kid. We pulled up. What we did, we didn't go on a tour. We didn't get on the tour bus. We rented a car, and we went over. It was four of us. We rented a place right on the Mediterranean Sea, and it was an apartment, beautiful, at night, you know, walking the Mediterranean Sea, and we went around, and I was just, you know, witnessing the people, and boy, it was a great time. I wanted to take my kids back, my family, everybody go back, but we walked around to Jerusalem and Caesarea, and man, when we got there, I said, where are we at? What happened here? He said, we're in Caesarea. I said, I know where we're at. This is where Paul went on trial. Paul went on trial in Caesarea. And man, I didn't know they had the Colosseum still there. I didn't know all that. And man, they even had, like, how many of y'all have ever seen Ben-Hur, that movie, that Ben-Hur? They got the track there where they would have these chariot races around there. I mean, I was like a little kid. I was going, man, this is wild. Here the Bible comes alive. I'm looking at all this stuff going, wow, this is great, man. I mean, I was so excited about it. I mean, just seeing all these things, knowing that book is real. I tell people all the time, you know how I know that Bible's real and how it's true? You look at what's going on in Israel. And here, and the Bible says in Jeremiah, it says that God said he was going to take them out of their land, and 2,500 years, God gives it back to them. You want to tell somebody, they say, I don't believe that Bible's true. I'll tell you what, that's the truth right there. God said, I'll take you out of your land, and 2,500 years, he brings them back. And that's the only nation in the history of the world of the world that ever lost their country and got it back, because God said so. And that what's going on right now is they're trying to take it away from them again. And this is demonic. But anyway, Caesarea, man, we got there, and I went into that Colosseum, and I could see right on the platform where King Agrippa and Festus and all of them sat. But most people, when you're reading your Bible, man, you don't realize that behind the Apostle Paul, there were hundreds of people. I mean, in the Colosseum, there's a big old Colosseum. There's hundreds of people sitting in there. And they were listening. They were witnesses. As the king sat on the platform, as Festus sat there, Paul stood before him and he said, "I think myself happy." What a thing, man. He was happy. He said, "Man, well, we're happy. I mean, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength, but happiness comes from things happening." But here Paul went through all kinds of trials, all kinds of things. I mean, you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul said, "I was shipwrecked. I mean, I was this and I was that." Maybe we ought to turn there and let you see it. I mean, Paul went through hell on earth, man. God told him he was going to go through it. He went through all them problems, all them troubles, and man, all the things that happened to him, and man, being bit by a snake, I mean, shipwrecked. I mean, being beaten in Lystra and drug out of town. They thought he was dead. And the guy come back up and got back up, man, bruised and bleeding, and got back up. So where was I? And went right back into town, man, and went back to preach. He said, "Paul was a wild man." Yeah, he was a wild man. He believed God. He believed God. Why? He met the Lord. And then he stands before King Agrippa with all that under his belt and all that things that he went through. And he says, "I think myself happy." Amen. Are you happy? I'm happy. I'm happy and I'm saved. Man, you ought to be happy. Man, why don't you let your face know that you're happy? Amen. Most Christians look like they're constipated most of their life. Amen. They look like, man, they've been swallowing a lemon upside down or something. They go, "Man, I can't stand to be around somebody always depressed." Man, you get around people, they're always depressed. I mean, we had a guy who used to stand up in our church, and he said, "We all know my situation." And everybody went, "Oh, boy, here he goes again." And that's a funny story, man. This guy, we had a woman that came to church one night. It was a Wednesday night, and she had dementia. And they had a belt around her with a strap on her, and because she had dementia. And, man, she was sitting over here, and this guy would always raise his hand. "You all know my situation. My wife left and ran off with somebody else and took all my..." And everybody went, "Oh, boy, here he goes again." I mean, you couldn't shut him up. He'd just start telling you all his problems. And, man, he'd make you want to kill yourself. But so he started telling all these problems and everything. And this woman, man, she was sitting over here, and all of a sudden she broke away from this woman. She had a strap on her, and she broke away. And, man, she took off out of the pew, and the woman was reaching out trying to get her. And I'm watching. I'm sitting in the pulpit. I'm teaching. I'm watching the thing. And this guy's sitting over here, about right here, and he's sitting there like this. And he goes, "Well, y'all know my..." And he's talking. And this woman comes down the aisle, and I'm thinking, what in the world's going to happen? You might not understand this, but I like crazy things. I like crazy things. I think the Lord does stuff like that for me, just so I can enjoy it. This woman comes down the aisle. She was about 80-some years old. He was 60-some. And he's telling about his wife and all that. And he said, "Pray that I find a wife." And I'm watching this thing. And she comes out of that pew. And she, man, she comes up. She goes, "Here I am!" And falls on him. And he's fighting her. And she's trying to kiss him. I said, "Don't resist, man. God answered prayer." God answered prayer, man. He's fighting. "Get off of me. Get off of me." She's rubbing his hair, and she sits down next to him. He goes, "Get off of me. Leave me." Man, church was over after that. We laughed so hard. I was crying. I was laughing so hard. Man. How did I tell that story? Why did I tell that? I don't know why. Paul went through all kinds of stuff. And, man, he stood up in front of that king. You know what, folks? I went there. I seen it. Right over here, down the steps, my wife went down the steps, and down the steps was where the jail was. They had brought Paul out. He looks at the Colosseum. When I got to that Colosseum, I ran all over that thing. I mean, I ran up and down. I ran around the thing. I'm screaming and yelling, and I'm going, "I think myself happy!" And And man, I could see Paul standing there. You know, like I said, most Christians are not even happy these days. They're not even happy. They're not. I'll tell you what, the Bible says, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. People come to church all depressed, all discouraged. Why? You ain't been through nothing. Now, I'm not trying to downgrade anything you've been through. But you think about, if you read what Paul went through, you read about, I've read Fox's Book of Martyrs. I've read about all these other Christians that go through. I got this book about these persecuted Christians. And I was on a plane with a lady. I was witnessing this lady, found out she was saved. And she's a therapist or something for the Chicago Bears. And she's on the plane with me, and I'm talking to her about the Lord. And she said, well, you know, it's funny that you sit next to me. She says, would you pray with me? She said, I feel uneasy. She's flying to Seattle to work on one of the Seahawks. She said, will you pray with me? I said, sure. I'll pray with her. But people go through stuff, and they're ready to throw in the towel. They're ready to quit serving God. Paul stood before King Agrippa. He festus, and he said, I think myself happy. I mean, he was happy. Why? Number one, he knew God. If you know God, you know, the old saying is, you and God is the majority. And God, man, if you know him, what a blessing that is. Paul said, I think myself happy. Man, he just, you know, I'll give you a couple reasons why he was happy. Because the people he's seen saved, that he knew got saved. Paul, you think about this, Paul was standing there holding the coat when Stephen was stoned to death. Paul's holding the coat of all those that were stoning Stephen. And Stephen looks up to God, and Jesus Christ stands up at the right hand of the Father. I remember a guy preaching at our church, one of our trustees. You know what he said? He said this. He said, I believe Jesus Christ was giving Paul a standing ovation. I thought, man, that's good stuff. Jesus Christ, he's sitting in the seat next to the Father, and he stands up when Stephen's being stoned. And Paul saw that. He remembered that. But you know, Paul seen people saved. And like I said, if you're saved in this room right now, that's a result of what Paul did, what he preached and what he wrote. You're a result of it. I'm a result of it. Paul said, I think myself happy. Happiness. Man, happiness comes from God. What a blessing that is. Paul talks about, man, being on that road to Damascus. He tells all his story. He tells about what he went through. And he's telling King Agrippa, and King Agrippa, or Festus, says Christianity is insanity. Christianity is the only sane thing there is in this world, man. I mean, being saved. I was sitting next to another guy who was coming out of Baltimore. I was witnessing him. And he works in the hospital. And I think he would have got saved if I just pushed it a little bit further. But man, Festus says Christianity is insanity. King Agrippa said Christianity is inconvenient. Inconvenient. Paul said, Christianity is imperative. I believe this, folks. I believe the Lord's coming back. I believe he's coming back soon. With this stuff going on in Israel and all this stuff going on, I tell people, when the Lord comes back, it's going to be on a feast day. When the Palestinians attacked Israel, they did it on the Feast of the Tabernacles, right at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. But when Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to be either Passover or it'll be a Feast of Tabernacles or Pentecost, one of the three. The Lord's coming back on that time. I believe that with all my heart. Why? Because you read your Bible, God doesn't do anything without a feast day and when it moves. But here Paul said, man, I think myself happy. Why? Because the people got saved. He's seen people saved. I mean, folks, he had Timothy. He called Timothy his son in the faith. I mean, he said, man, Timothy, my son. What a blessing that is to see somebody that gets saved as a result of your testimony, as a result of your ministry. Now, I want to say this to you, Christians. When's the last time you led somebody to Jesus Christ? You know, I had a lady in our church just recently. I don't know if this is the first time she ever led anybody to Christ, but she led a co-worker to the Lord, and it lit her up. It brought instant happiness and joy in her life, and she's out now trying to win somebody else. Why? When you see somebody get saved, it'll stir you up. It'll bring happiness to you. You start thinking about, that's fruit of mine that I got to be able to be a part of. I mean, I got to show them how to be saved. Paul said, I think myself happy. Why? Because of the people he's seen saved. I mean, folks, you are, if you're not serving God and you're not trying to win souls and you're just living for yourself, the most miserable people on the face of the earth is Christians that's living for themselves. You're miserable. If you're not living for God, you're miserable. I've been around. You say, how long have you been pastoring? 38 years. I've been pastoring. I've seen all kinds of crazy stuff. I've seen people getting saved. I've seen folks, I got to lead people to Christ. And what a blessing that is to see people get saved. I remember one time I walked into church. I usually walk around in my old clothes. I'm a worker. My father drilled it in me about work. I work all the time. I'm working on buses. I'm working at something, doing something. I'm doing something. And I walked into church one Saturday afternoon, and I always pray, God, give me fruit. God, give me fruit. And that, give me fruit so my fruit will remain. I walked in the back of the church one day, and a girl was standing right in the foyer right there in the doorway. And it looked like a pretty girl. She had blonde hair and everything. I walked by her, and I said, excuse me, ma'am. And I kept on walking down to my office. And I'm walking by, and she goes, can anybody pray in here? I stopped. I said, yes, ma'am, help yourself. I said, it's good to be saved, ain't it? And she said, what you say? I said, good to be saved, ain't it? And I stopped and looked at her, and she goes, I wish I knew. I walked back to her. I said, you don't know? I have a Bible on the Lord's Supper table up in the front. I walked back to her, and I could see she was a pretty girl at one time, but she was in a bad accident. She was texting while she was driving. Ran in back of a tow truck. She died three times on the table. It crushed her face. Eyes out of socket. All kinds of stuff happened. She said, I died three times. She was kind of embarrassed for me to look at her face. And I said, where would you go on? She said, I don't know. And I said, would you like to know? She said, I would love to know. I would love to know where I'm going. And I said, you can know it right now. And she goes, would you show me? I said, sure. So she walked down the front, and I took the Bible, and I opened it up. I said, look at here. Look at that. She took her finger and ran across. Every time I showed her a scripture, she took her finger and ran across that scripture, just touching it. She said, I had to learn how to walk all over again. She said, I have no memory of the accident. I had to learn how to read all over again. I had to learn everything all over again. And every time I showed her a scripture, then her phone rang. She took her phone out. And they said, where are you? We have a gymnasium. They were having a baby shower or wedding shower in the gym. I forget who it was, but she came for that. But she was so interested in coming into church. And she said, every time when the phone rang, she said, I'm in the church talking to the Father. I said, I'm not a priest, ma'am. I'm a preacher. And she said, he's a preacher. And so she hung up, and then her grandmother came in. And I said to her, I said, see what the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. She said, you think God would save me? I said, I know he would. And the grandmother came in, and I said, hey, Grandma. I didn't know who she was either. I didn't know her. I said, hey, Grandma, your granddaughter's going to get saved. What do you think about that? She said, she better ask her mother. The girl was 20-some years old. And the girl turned around and looked at Grandma. She said, I ain't got to ask Mama about this. She said, this is what I want. The girl was Catholic. The family was Catholic. The grandmother came down the front. And I said, Grandma, would you want to come over and pray with us? She said, no. So the girl got down. We got down on the front pew, and I started praying. I said, oh, God. I started praying, God, help this young lady call upon you right now. Give her faith right now to trust you. And before I could even finish praying, she said, wait a minute. She had her hands like this. She said, is that all right? Here you guys sitting in church, you know how to pray. You know how to get a hold of God. You know all that. Are you happy? Are you glad you're saved? Man, you know you're going to heaven. Got your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Man, when I finally got saved, man, I knew something happened in my life. I knew something changed inside. I wanted more of it.
That girl says, "Is my hands all right?" I said, "That's perfect." And this girl said, her grandmother's sitting over there. I helped her to pray. She asked Jesus Christ. I started crying. I get all, as you older you get all emotional. I got weeping and crying. She looked at me. When we finished praying, I said, "Did you ask the Lord to save you?" She goes, "I sure did." I said, "Did you mean it?" She said, "I sure did." She looked at me. She said, "I wish I could cry." I lost all the ability to be able to cry. Man, I got shouting. Grandmother, I think about ran her out of there. I went over there and said, "She got saved! Glory! Hallelujah!" That grandmother, "This man's crazy." Are you happy? Paul said, "Man, I'm happy seeing these people get saved. What a blessing." Boy, I tell you what, you start feeling down, you start feeling discouraged, get you some tracks. I told them that. I said, "You know what my favorite thing is? I like these chick tracks." What I do, I put it in their face. I say, "Hey, you ever seen that?" Because you walk up and you say, "Hey, can I give you something to tell you about Jesus?" You know, a lot of times years ago, "Give me something to tell you about Jesus. Give me something to tell you about Jesus." Whatever you got, they say, "Well, I don't want that." But you put it in their face. I say, "Hey, you ever seen that?" They go, "No, never seen that." I was in McDonald's a while ago. I said, I put it right in the guy's face. I said, "You ever seen that?" He goes, "I've seen one." I said, "You get saved?" I said, "You better take this one and read it again." Paul said, "I think myself happy." Man, look over in 2 Corinthians. I'll show you. I have to show you this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you haven't read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What time is it? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 22. "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool." Then he goes on down. He says, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." He was whipped more times than Jesus Christ was. He said, "Of the Jews, 40 times. 5 times, save one." 39. "Thrice was I beaten with rods." Wow. "Thrice was I beaten with rods." I'm going to tell you something. Some people knock on somebody's door. Somebody says, "What do you want?" "I'm from Faith Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you out to church." Slam the door in your face. "Well, I ain't going to never do this again." Had a guy get out of prison. I go down to prisons to preach, and I stand, be about 300 guys in there. I'll be giving my testimony. As soon as I walk in, there'd be about 4 or 5 guys yelling, "Pastor Ryman!" And I'll say, "Yeah, you guys know me? Stand up." They said, "We've been to your church." Every one of them. I said, who are you? Tell me who you are. There'd be 300 men in there. They had death rows up on top. And I said, "You've been to my church?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "See these guys right here, these 5 guys?" I said, "These are guys that didn't listen." They didn't listen. They sit down real quick. But this guy, he says, "I got a prisoner. I'm going to come help you." I married him and his wife. She waited on him. And this idiot, I love him. He's an idiot. Big old boy, too. And he says, "I'm going to help." So I let him drive a church bus. Church bus broke down. I was Sunday morning, Sunday school. I'm up there, and getting ready to start Sunday school. And I get a call. 2 buses break down at the same time. We run buses, pick up kids. 2 buses. I'm the mechanic. And I'm the kind of guy, I'll go do whatever. I'll do it with my white shirt. I'll fall on the ground and get on the degree. I'll do whatever I have to do to get the thing running. So I take another bus out there and take this other guy and get a bus so that they can run their bus route. And then I'm coming up the road. I'm just rejoicing, praising God because of all the stuff going on. And when things get hard, I feel like I got to go at it harder. When things get harder, I'm going to go at it harder. I know the devil's fighting. So I'm riding up the road, and this guy's riding down the road with his wife in the car, and he broke down the bus, and I sent somebody for him. Here's a big old boy. He gets out. I thought he was coming around. I thought he was coming looking for me to help me. He pulls up behind me. I'm in the bus, and the bus that was broke down, and I got it fixed to get it back to the church. And I opened the door. I said, "Hey, brother, thanks for coming out trying to help me." He goes, "He said, I'm going to go home because, man, you ain't got no help, and the bus is breaking down. I just can't take this." I said, "You big stinking sissy, go home, you stinking brat, go home." And I took off, left him standing there. You know what bothers me? People get a little trouble in their life, they're ready to throw in the towel. That bothers me. You know what I like to do? I ain't going to tell you what I want to do. The Bible says this, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Now that right there would get me. Being in the ocean in the middle of the night. Man, all I can hear is that music of Jaws. Dun, 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 dun. That would get me. You think about Jonah out there in the water, and they throw him overboard, and Jonah's out there, hey, guys, and all of a sudden them guys, look behind you. Oh, man, that would get me, brother. Oh, God. Man, when I go to the water, brother, I do this. I stick my toes in. I'm okay, that's enough for me. Thrice was I shipwrecked, beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Suffered shipwreck, you know, thrice was I suffered shipwreck. Night and a day I spent in the deep, and journeys often, and perils often, and waters, and perils of robbers, and perils. And then Paul the apostle went through all kinds of trouble. God told him he was going to have. How would you like the Lord to say, okay, Paul, here's your resume, but I'm going to write it for you before it even you even get started? This is what you're going to have to go through. He said, preacher, you haven't been through nothing, have you? I watched my son get run over by a car in front of the church. I watched our house burn down with no insurance. I watched a lot of stuff happen in our life. You know what I say? I picked my son up off the road. He was 18 months old. Blood running out of his eyes and ears and mouth. Looked like his jaw was broken. The chief of police's daughter got married at our church that day. And I remember picking him up. My wife fell out in the road crying, my kids. I wasn't crying. I was just inside my heart. Inside, I was screaming. And I said, God? Inside, I was saying, God, I deserve this. Anything bad happens to me, I deserve it. I said, but have mercy on me. You ready to quit? Paul said, I make myself happy. I know happiness comes from things happening. Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He got to see others saved. I'm telling you what. Thank God for the Apostle Paul. You got to make up your mind. You know, our Bible says fight the good fight. It's going to be a fight at times. It'll be a fight. I know my brother just buried his wife. Missionary. Been on the field. I know others go through. I've got five widows in the church. I love their husbands. I cried and begged God. I had a little girl that was like a granddaughter in my church. She died of a heart attack at 13 years old. And I said, no, 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 no. Paul said, I think myself happy. You know, sometimes you just got to think yourself happy. Thank you, Lord. You know what stirs me up? Is singing. And man, I get stirred up. I start singing in the mall. I don't care what anybody thinks. I preached hundreds of funerals. I've done about 150 weddings. I tell people all the time, I don't care what you think about me. It makes no difference to me. I divorced myself caring about what people think. It makes no difference to me. But I always tell people, please like me. Please. I just had a funeral, had 20. The whole church was full. Boy got killed. It was a bus kid. Riding a motorcycle, got killed. All his homies came. All the homies came. The grandmother sitting on the front row. Grandma, she said, preacher, you preach to them. They need it. When they walked in the church, you could smell all the dope. They've been out in the parking lot. I'm out in the car smoking dope. I don't allow them to smoke in the parking lot. But you could smell it. A lady that was running this, her and her husband running the sound system, she said she came down and she walked into the church and went, whew, man, let's get high just walking in here. But we had 20 people said they got saved. They got up and some of them started cussing. And I said, whoa, knock that off, man. You don't do that in here. And then they went, oh, sorry, preacher. Had 20 said they got saved. They raised their hands. I said, Lord, save them. I said, okay. I figured, y'all tough. If you really got saved, stand up. Right now, stand up. Only 10 stood up. I think myself happy. I got to witness old Biden. I know. I'm sorry. He's from Delaware. God have mercy. I witnessed to him personally. I told him he was going to go to hell. He told me he was saved. I said, yeah. We'll stand outside in the full moon. I said, yeah, like the man in the moon. He don't even know where he's at right now. I went down to the Senate. This Delaware Senate invited me to come pray. I went into the Delaware Senate. The Attorney General called me up. Or the Lieutenant Governor called me up and said, and wrote me a letter. Said, would you come down and pray over the Senate? I think it's funny. Here I am, ex-convict. I said, if they only knew where I came from. I got up. There was a little black girl showing me around. I've witnessed to her. She said she was saved. She was Lieutenant Governor's secretary. And she showed me around. I'm sitting over here. And the Lieutenant Governor was talking. And I'm sitting over here with her. And all the senators sitting there, they act like they were, you know. And I just talked to that senator. One of the senators that was there, I talked to him today and prayed with him. And I'm sitting over this girl, this little black girl. And I said, hey, you think these guys can take any preaching? And she said, what are you thinking about doing? I said, I'm going to stand up in here and preach to them. She said, please don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I said, I believe in having fun. She said, they'll arrest you. I said, that'd be fun. I've been in jail. Jail don't scare me. So I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pray and preach while I'm praying. So when I got up to pray, I said, God, don't let these men die and go to hell. Don't let them pass any laws that would hinder us from serving God. Take our liberties away. I mean, when I raised my head and looked out at the crowd, they were all like, I said, have a good day. I'm having a blast. I think myself happy. I got to quit. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you for being so good to us, Lord. Thank you, God, for the Apostle Paul's testimony of being happy. And in the midst of all the troubles and all the trials that he went through, he was still happy. He got to testify and give his testimony. And help us, Lord God, to be happy about what you've done in our lives. Where you're taking us to, God, we got a brand new home waiting on us. Father, we got a new name. We've got a new body. We've got a new home. Never have to worry about taxes, electricity, or any of that stuff. And you say, oh, you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. And you said in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house and many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to have a joy and a peace, and especially that smile on our face, knowing that we're going to go and be with you and that we were saved and on our way to heaven. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul and his happiness that he had. Even in the midst of his trials, help us to have that happiness, Lord, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.